We have two scripture readings today. The first, Psalm 30, is a thanksgiving song, a song that tells the story of going into trouble and coming out of trouble. And God is given the credit for the restoration. The four verbs in the psalm relating to God's actions are, you have drawn me up, you have healed me, you have lifted me up, you have lifted up my life, and you have restored me to life. We do not know the specific situation in this psalm that prompted God's action, but we get the impression that it was serious. Someone almost lost their life, but in the end, the person was restored, transformed, and was willing to talk about their journey from death to life and give praise to God for that transformation in their life. I can imagine the characters in the gospel story today turning to this psalm after their healing and restoration. The woman who had menstrual bleeding for 12 long years, and a 12-year-old girl who was restored to life in the story. But there's more going on in this story than the healing of bodies that occurred because of the touch of Jesus. There was a loosening of class differences, a crumbling of rigid social and religious boundaries. The healed woman was restored to the center of community. The leader of the synagogue hopefully learned to empathize more with those considered marginal in the community and perhaps begin to think more reflectively about occupying a place of privilege in the community. This is a really great story about restoration in Mark's gospel on so many levels. It tells us that the way of Jesus heals individuals, yes, and communities by restoring the health, humanity, and dignity of those who have been afflicted and marginalized. Chapter 4 of Mark ends with Jesus calming the sea, and then he got into a boat, and the story of the calming of the sea happened as he was crossing the sea, and we had the boat in the sanctuary last week. And Gloria told us about that. And then when he stepped out on the shore on the other side of the sea, he was met by a man who lived in the cemetery and spent a lot of time howling and thrashing about in the cemetery. Jesus ordered the unclean spirits out of the man into a herd of pigs who rushed into the sea and drowned. You probably have heard the story. The man was restored to his right mind and told everyone in the region how much Jesus had done for him. So you have the story of this man who was very marginalized, restored to community in a positive way. And then Jesus got back into the boat and went to the other side of the sea and was met by crowds again. He was gaining a reputation as a healer in how he was able to heal. And one of the leaders of the synagogue begged Jesus to come and heal his 12-year-old daughter who was near death. The name of this leader of the synagogue was Jairus. The leader of a synagogue in a community, a Jewish community, was usually a well-off person, influential, probably wealthy, and had standing and status in the community. He was an honorable man. As a Jewish man, he was responsible for looking after his family and probably was responsible for looking after the women in his life and making sure that they were cared for. And his daughter, his 12-year-old daughter, was very sick, near death, and so he was concerned about her and was willing to try anything. So he partially was fulfilling his role as the male in the family. But on the other hand, as a leader in a community where there was tension between these Jesus followers and between the traditional Jewish way of life and him being a leader in a synagogue where the more traditional view might have been prevailing, I wonder what it cost him to finally reach out to this person, Jesus, and ask him for help. He had to reach across social and religious boundaries. The religious leaders who were critics of Jesus would not want to see their synagogue leaders being sympathetic to this new movement because they broke the rules. And Jesus seemed to respond in an appropriate way to an influential, powerful religious leader in the community. Right away, he went with them and they made their way toward the home of this person, Jairus. And a large crowd followed him. And then the story, after it says that they begin to go toward Jairus' home, the story shifts to another character rather quickly. A character very different than the synagogue leader. This is an unnamed woman, we never learn her name in the story, who had menstrual bleeding for 12 years, and she had tried every remedy, probably some worse than what Steve mentioned this morning. She spent all that she had on doctors who could not help her. 12 years of going, it took you a year to figure out your situation, Steve. Imagine 12 years of not getting answers or help and getting worse during that time. A woman in her condition would have been considered ritually unclean. She could not be touched. People would have to avoid her. If she sat down somewhere, it was not proper to use the chair or whatever she sat on. You have blood on your pillow. You know, you can imagine what this woman had to deal with on a daily basis. How do you shop for food if you are ritually unclean and cannot go to the marketplace? 12 years. And what was her social life like? Who did she have contact with? Who could she spend time with? 12 years. I suppose after 12 years, the community and her would have gotten into a way of life that recognized that she was on the margins, and they would have figured out a way to keep her there. And she doesn't seem to have a close male relative to advocate for her in the story. And so after 12 years, condition growing worse, this woman, I imagine, was desperate and yearning for restoration. And she hears about Jesus. So in some ways, this influential person in the community, Jairus, is desperate as well for his daughter, and this woman is desperate for her own situation. And they come from very different places in the community, one a person of influence and one very marginalized. Somehow, in the crowd, she gets close to Jesus. And she touches his garment with the hope of healing. And I wonder just about the courage that she had to take the risk of coming into this community of people who knew that she was ritually unclean and that they should not touch her. How did she manage to get through that crowd and reach out and touch Jesus' garment? Immediately she was healed, and immediately Jesus was aware that something had happened in that encounter. He looks all around and asks, "Who touched me?" In Mark's gospel, the disciples do not come off well, often miss the point, miss the occasion, miss the people who they should be noticing, and they miss the moment again that something significant is happening here. With all these people around her, how could we tell who jostled you, who touched you? And then we have this woman who is not supposed to be touching people standing there somewhere, knowing that she is healed, but not quite knowing, not sure what to do from here. So how could she be restored to community and to relationships and to her place in the community in this situation? 12 years of ostracization. Again, she comes forward. She trusts this man, Jesus, and tells him everything. And that's in front of the whole community that they have this encounter. It's amazing to me the courage and strength and determination and faith of this woman to first of all endure for 12 years and then to reach out to Jesus and then to tell the truth of what she has experienced in front of the whole community. Mark, you know, as I look at who wrote the book of Mark, we don't know. Some speculation is that perhaps there was a woman writer involved in writing this gospel because of the place that women have in the stories like this. Jesus' first word to her is very healing. Daughter, he says. So when you think about the 12-year-old girl who is the daughter of the leader of the synagogue, when you think about a 12-year-old Jewish girl, we think about a young person right on the edge of entering into the life of the community. 12-year-old children, I think, are so full of promise and potential, and it's just becoming visible kind of at that stage of life. You know, it's a beautiful time of life. And to have that kind of potential and vision for a young life be near death had to be devastating for the leader of the synagogue and for the community that she was part of. She truly was a daughter of the community. To have Jesus say to this woman who had been healed and call her daughter gives her a renewed status and a place of honor and privilege in the community. He becomes her advocate. Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease. And the woman is restored to her community with that act, those words. And meanwhile, Jairus is standing there wondering about his daughter. Both Jairus and the unnamed woman reach out to Jesus and they find healing. They reach out from different places in their community. Jairus from a place of privilege, advocating for a member of his family, and the unnamed woman from the margin of the community. I wonder who needed a sign from Jesus more to be jostled in their understanding of the world. Jairus' daughter, the story indicates that she died before Jesus could get there. People came and said, don't bother the teacher anymore, she's already dead. Jesus says, no, she's just sleeping, and they laughed at him. He went into the home with the parents and with the, I think, three or four disciples that were closest to him, lifted her up and restored her to life and to the community. He said, give her something to eat. Interesting phrase for this Sunday as we celebrate the Lord's Supper and have a potluck meal together. We practice open communion in this congregation because everyone is invited to the Lord's table. And I like the way the story illustrates that everyone is invited into the presence and into the healing and the touch of Jesus. And I pray that as you eat the bread and taste the grape juice today, that you will realize that you are a loved child of God, a daughter, a son. And I pray that that brings restoration and healing to whatever your situation is. Amen.